Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Solasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production between WGVU and Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, even supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. The body mass index has been used to provide an indication of whether someone is underweight, normal weight, or overweight and obese, and the degree to which they are obese. If you break the measurement down into its components, it is a measure of surface area. Well, how's that? It is the body weight in kilograms divided by the height in meters squared. There is no measure of body fatness implied, and yet physicians, healthcare professionals, and public health researchers have used it for that purpose for a couple of decades. While it may not indicate the degree of body fatness directly, it can be used to assess the potential risk of degenerative disease, like cardiovascular disease, prediabetes, and other metabolic conditions. In my experience, many people really dislike it, especially when they cross into the obese category. How can I be obese? I have big bones. I've heard that plenty. There's been a recent study published in JAMA Network Online using the Body Roundness Index, or BRI for short. Now, I try to stay on top of body composition assessments, but somehow I completely missed this whole Body Roundness Index before seeing this paper. Now, before I get to that, let me give you an idea of what the Body Roundness Index is all about and then see whether it's really relevant. In a recently published commentary in the Journal of the American Medical Association, the commentary writer suggested that it may be time to exchange the BMI for the Body Roundness Index. The author interviewed the developer of the BRI. The developer, a mathematician, told the commentator that BMI is based on a cylindrical model, and when she looked in the mirror, she didn't feel like a cylinder. She felt like she was more egg-shaped. So using her expertise in mathematics, she developed a model for assessing body fatness based on an ellipse. Well, why? Well, she gave a couple of reasons. The first is that body mass index can misclassify individuals because it fails to distinguish between individual amounts of fat-free mass and fat mass. In conjunction with that, it does not really provide information about the distribution of body fat, specifically visceral fat versus subcutaneous fat. Now, the first type of fat is what's packed in around your organs and may be more associated with cardiometabolic disease, while the second is the fat just underneath the skin. She decided to develop a mathematical model based on an ellipse to assess body fatness, which would indicate where the fat is distributed. With some very complicated math, she developed the Body Roundness Index. It only uses two measurements, height and waist measurement, but avoids that hated scale. The benefit of using the BRI is that it may be a better predictor of body fat than the Body Mass Index. As I've already established, the Body Mass Index is not a predictor of body fatness, but surface area. Based on her model, she demonstrated that BRI is associated with body fat distribution. Well, that makes complete sense. The waist measurement would provide an indication of fat around the waist. The question after that is, would it be a better predictor for cardiometabolic disease than body mass index? We'll see after looking at the study that got my attention to begin with. In that study, a group of researchers decided to use open source data from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey database. The researchers wanted to examine the relationship between body roundness index and all-cause mortality. The dates chosen coincided with the years that physical assessments were done, including height and waist circumference. Weight was collected but not used in the analysis in this instance. The time period began in 1999-2000 and continued every 2 years through 2017-2018. There were two observations that were significant. First, in every demographic group, regardless of age, gender, or race ethnicities, The body roundness index has increased during every examination period. As a country, the United States has gotten fatter. That matches every other measure, such as body weight and BMI as well. The second observation was that the hazard ratio increased as the body roundness index dropped below normal. The hazard ratio became normal when the normal BRI was reached, and then rose again as the body roundness index increased. Just so you have a reference point, the researchers compared quintiles of body roundness index. Simply stated, there was an increased risk of mortality when people were too lean or they were too fat. Now here's something interesting. The body roundness index more or less lines up with the equivalent numbers for BMI numbers that were provided in the validation study by the developer, the mathematician, of the body roundness index. Now, you may be wondering, why don't I just give you a formula to do the calculations for yourself? Because it's very complicated math, and there are BRI calculators available if you search for them on the internet. The main reason I did not, it just doesn't matter. The body roundness index is no better at predicting mortality than the body mass index did. That's one thing that the researchers did not do in the study I just reviewed. Even though they had the data they needed in body weight, was to compare the body roundness index with a BMI in predicting their hazard ratios. Why not? They had the data. Why not do it? But fortunately, the body roundness index developer did during her validation study. The categories of adiposity associated with BMI matches almost exactly with the body roundness index, and thus with body fatness. Now, the author of the commentary went on to suggest that what we really need is technology that is less expensive than current measures of percent body fat, such as the DEXA scan or the BOD pod air replacement methods. I don't think that's really necessary. It won't predict who's at risk for cardiometabolic disease any better than the body mass index. It won't give any better precision than the body mass index. Just higher expense. And remember, I'm a body composition geek and have done almost all of these techniques as part of my research in my career. Let me throw something else into the mix. The body roundness index may indicate body fatness, but it cannot discern between visceral and subcutaneous fat. I've talked about body fat distribution and aging before and used the expression fluffy to describe how people can have a normal body weight but still be over fat. Their waist measurement may also be lower because of the lack of muscle underneath. In trying to substitute the body roundness index for BMI, there is still no solution for that. And on top of that, there is still the dilemma of the jelly belly. Now, those are people, primarily men, who carry their subcutaneous fat, not viscerally, but right underneath the skin. A simple waist measurement cannot discern where the fat is located. Just because a person has a larger waist measurement does not mean that it is evenly distributed. They may not have any more visceral fat than a person with a normal body roundness index, yet be categorized at increased risk for cardiometabolic disease. That's why there is no need for another formula, which will be used to predict the risk of cardiometabolic disease just with anthropometric data. It leaves too much to chance. On top of that, once it's in your health records, it never really leaves. So, in my opinion, it's really the clinical use everyone seems to have a problem with. With rare exceptions, the body mass index does give an indication of body fatness, as well as whether a person is underweight, normal weight, or obese. If a physician or other healthcare professional cannot see the patient before them and realize they are too lean or too muscular to fit the typical interpretation of body mass index, the fault lies with them, not the tool they are using. And that's it for this episode. So until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying health is a choice, people. Choose wisely today and every day.